Gang, you ever been sitting around with your friends trying to figure out some songs off the top of your head, but you can't quite figure them out? Well, check this out. Whether you are a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app for you. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, and ukulele for over a million songs. You also get great tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, and more. Go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone and start jamming today. That's Ultimate Guitar. Start jamming, man. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you've had a great week, whatever it is that you do during the week. I've had a good week myself, although I'm doing this a couple of days early. So far, my week is good. Hey, guys, before we get into this show, I want to make I've got a big announcement to make. I do. Yeah. How did I get here celebrating our 700th episode? This is episode 693. So it's coming up pretty soon. And so we're going to have a live recording with a lot of great guests. This is going to take place on Sunday, May 20th, at 1 to 1 Bar, at 6 p.m., from 6 to 8 p.m. is when we have reserved. Probably going to do like 6 to 7:30 or something, 6:15 to 7, I don't know, whatever, 7:45. It's totally free. Check it out. My guest will be AJ Vallejo. Normally, I have him at these things because he says horrible things and everyone gets upset. A&R Peterson, my dear old friend, bass player with The Fray, former bass player from Kelly Clarkson, the great Sarah Hauser from Lowen, Taylor Wilkins from Otis the Destroyer, and my friend Aaron Blackerby from Major Grizz. All my guests on the show, all people from rock bands. It's a rock-centric episode 700 live podcast recording from 1 to 1 Bar taking place Sunday, May 20th, 6 p.m. Come out. Don't be late. It's totally free. It's free admission. Come out. Be a part of the show. If you've been on the show, if you listen to the show, come on out. See it in person. Those shows are a good time. We'll all have some cocktails. We'll have some laughs. And hopefully you will too. All right? I've got a great show for you guys today. My friends, Todd, Corey, and Aaron, the band Sphinx, are back on the show. I don't know how many times they've been on the show. I went through and kind of looked. I think this might be their fifth or sixth time on the show. They've done live shows. They've been in the studio a few times. They've checked in from the road. We've done all kinds of things with Sphinx. They're one of my favorite bands. They have a brand new single out called Patterns. Came out in February. They've got a new album that came out last year called Space Camp. They just got back from a tour of the UK. They had a very busy South by Southwest. They had a very awesome Tiny Desk video submission, which you can see, and they become tiny. It's very great, and they're on a desk. I love these guys. I really do. I love these guys. I've loved them for a long time. Ever since the very first time I saw this band, I was like, yeah, this is my band. These guys are a great sense of humor, amazing songwriters, and their music, it brings a celebration to my heart. I like to listen to this music when I'm getting ready to go do something fun. I like to have it playing while I'm doing something fun. I love to go see them play. Their shows are incredibly energetic. Their choices of covers are always insane and great. And yeah, I love these dudes. I really do. I love Sphinx. Their new single, Patterns, is great. You can find them at sphinxmusic.com. They're going to be playing some shows. They're playing Barracuda, I think, on May 27th here in Austin. Get out there. Go to sphinxmusic.com. See what you need to see about when they're playing. Listen to their music. Watch those videos. I'll post their Tiny Desk video submission on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. And hey, real quick, before we get off the subject, How Did I Get Here Facebook page, go like it. If you haven't liked it already, like it. You'll find the event for May 20th, our 700th live podcast recording featuring AJ Vallejo, A&R Peterson, Sarah Hauser from Lowen, Taylor Wilkins from Otis the Destroyer, and Aaron Blackerby from Major Grizz at 1 to 1 Bar, Sunday, May 20th, 6 p.m. Come on out, free show. And also like our Facebook page because you'll see a great photo of me and my guest today, the great band Sphinx. I love these dudes. Enjoy my conversation with the fabulous Corey, Aaron, and Todd. All right? And have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Here's my chat with Sphinx. Let's get down. There's people who love a band, and then they have enough money. I mean, imagine if you had enough money to you know, take your favorite band somewhere. Eventually, like, you meet a dentist at your show, and you right. get a toothache, and
yeah.
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's weird. There's, like, there's not, like, official health care for musicians, but there is, like, if you find dudes people. That like you.
Yeah.
if you don't suck.
Yeah.
If become they, friends if they with think lawyers,
that,
doctors.
Yeah. That your teeth are
yeah, there's all kinds of things time. Like that. So how long were you guys in the UK?
10 days.
Yeah. How many shows?
Six shows.
Yeah.
Six shows?
Mm-hmm.
How were they? What?
Amazing.
They were incredible.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah, it was...
It went off.
Yeah. It was, you know, sort of one of those, like, leap of faith type of things, because we weren't really sure how well it was going to go.
And we, like, went, I don't know, like, a couple, we had tickets and stuff, and then a couple months before, like, not all the gigs were set in stone, so it was, like, a lot of anxiety leading into it. And
yeah,
then,
it's not like going to Waco
yeah.
for a gig. It's like,
right.
you got to get work visas. Do you have to do that?
Mm-hmm. We did have yeah. to do that, yeah.
Do you guys have someone that you work with that kind of helped you through that, or did you...
Yeah, it. Yeah,
good.
You did most of it, but there was this guy helping.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. We filled out the paperwork for the visas, but it was like through our admin company.
Okay.
Blue Water. They have a guy in London who basically has kind of, I guess, you know, seated or I don't know, investigated to see how the band's received over there, and he kind of basically this guy Liam put together. Most of the tour dates, and also had a visa guy who did that for bands. Yeah, so it went incredible. Like, from, you know, second song of the first set was like, all right, this is a good fit.
We need to live in Europe.
Yeah.
I think that's the first amazing. Show we played was sold out, not because of us, but just people were just going out to venues and shit. Mm-hmm. Actually, I mean, quite a few people that come out for us. But.
Did yeah. you feel that there was a big of a difference of sort of the way the crowds
like respond
or what
yeah, yeah.
participation
yeah.
and everything?
Yeah, yeah. yeah, it felt way more interactive. Like, everyone, like, they were there for the whole, like, set, you know? No one, uh-huh. like, going to get drinks and stuff, but no one's, like, talking or chilling. Like, me and Aaron got shushed at a show because we were talking too loud. They're like, "My God, Mike, can you be quiet? We're trying to listen." And it wasn't even, like, a listening spot. It was, like, a amazing, rock show yeah. kind of thing. But, yeah, so everyone's, like, very... attentive and interested in the bands.
That's amazing.
And it's like they researched, you know, because every room we played was probably, you know, 150, maybe 200 cap, small rooms, definitely. And, but people would research, like, what their neighborhood venue had going on and stuff. So every single show we played, we had people that came that had looked it up and knew about the band and stuff, too. So it's almost like those venues have a built-in following of people that just, like, pay attention to what's coming through their neighborhood and stuff.
No.
Which is, it's a cool thing. It's a little bit different than it is here.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what do you guys meet, like, a promoter guy from over there or something, or your admin people hooked you up with a promoter? Or?
The admin hooked us up definitely with Liam, which did a lot of, like, promotions. We didn't actually have, like, a full-on promotion team. That's why we're a little worried going to, because we didn't have, like, PR behind it.
Yeah.
It was such a late, like, we didn't know even, like, 2 months in if we were actually going to do it. So, which we also had to cancel one in October, which sucked too, because all the dates fell through. Because one of the things was for a BMI showcase that we were trying to head over there for.
Oh, okay.
And so we got locked in October, but then we got, it didn't work out, so then we finally got this one in. Or we didn't, but the team did. So,
yeah.
So that was the main goal going over there, and then we booked the shows around it. But yeah, there wasn't much promotion. It was mainly just like the venue owners. The first guy who played the Troubadour in London, which was a really great spot, yeah, and that guy did a lot of promotions, and he wants to do more for us. He was very excited, interested. But
it's definitely kind of like an all hands on deck thing, because it's hard to get promoters to take a bite on, you know, a band like us that's never been to the UK and doesn't have, you know, much traction over there. So we had, you know, like we had booked some of our own gigs. Our admin company booked, you know, the good gigs, and then BMI did a showcase on Tuesday night that they had us on in London, and then our manager found a gig at the Troubadour, which is pretty cool. That's like the club that I guess Jimi Hendrix and Bob Dylan had their first London shows there.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Add Sphinx to that list, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan, Jimi Hendrix, Sphinx.
What's that one?
Yeah. We went ahead and signed the wall immediately after that.
Did you?
No. We put up a frame picture of ourselves next to their frame picture.
Actually took down their frame picture.
Took down a couple.
Ours was pretty big.
Did you have to drive yourselves there? Or did you have a
car? One day. 1.5 days we rented a car. Yeah. Usually we just took the train. Yeah.
Where all did you go? You hit any cool places like Leeds? I'm just trying to think of places I've seen on posters.
Leeds.
It was mostly all London. London? We did like 4 different neighborhoods of London.
Yeah.
And then two outer, like the San Marcos Swindon. To Austin sort of situation.
So it takes like 5 hours to get out there. But
yeah, it did take way too long.
You guys use tracks and all this electronic gear, and that's a hurdle.
Yeah,
I mean, luckily you have to get all your power together and all your.
Yeah, we were all plugged in. We had one converter and plug everything in like this daisy chain of power pads.
Luckily, didn't blow over.
So stupid.
It was.
That's the type of band we are. We were in another country for 10 days.
Yeah,
and we were like, we got there. We're like, oh shit, we only have one converter, and then it worked. So every time that the set started and it was like, oh, everything's working, it was like, cool. Fuck yes. And then
it works. We can play.
The whole time we were like, oh yeah, we really got to get another converter.
You know,
and
you should have come to one. Was this, I moderated this panel last week about tour managing for the Awesome Music Foundation.
Yeah, I saw that.
They had some good Euro tips.
I wanted to go to
a lot of good Euro tips, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
I was busy that night.
But there are ones I didn't even think of, but I mean, the power thing, that's a big one.
Yeah. We should have gone.
Gear's an interesting thing to deal with, you know, like what gear do you bring? What gear?
Yeah, we. Yeah, he had all his pedals just shoved in his backpack with his clothes. Like,
yeah,
taking them out every time. Airports are really fun for us.
Like, you built a double case, hand built a or carved out an acoustic guitar case to be able to fit 2 electric guitars in it.
Look at you.
It was Corey's idea. He was like, I bet it would work. And I was like, yeah, I'll try it. And I took a saw and... worked out. It was really heavy. It was definitely lost some weight.
We also brought like 60-some pounds worth of merch, and then we had to pay like $200 just to get it over there.
That was the part.
We unloaded it.
How'd you do merch-wise over there? Good?
It was good. It wasn't like... There was a couple nights that were like...
It wasn't as good as we expected it to be.
The first few shows being like hardly selling anything. We're like, well, like a lot of people were there, but they would come over and talk to you and look at it, but then just kind of... Whatever. Maybe everyone just gets stuff online.
Yeah. So it was kind of like...
Do you have Spotify? Yeah. We say yes, and then they don't buy stuff. We should start saying no.
Or maybe... Yeah, I mean...
We don't.
The 2 nights that we weren't in London, we did sell a lot of merch, but it was like... In London, we didn't sell a lot of merch. So I don't know if that's like Austin, a big city type situation, because typically, like, you know, we don't sell much merch in, like, Nashville or New York either. It's a lot of times, like, the smaller places or the college gigs.
Or it spends their money on alcohol.
Where it's a more novel thing for a band to come to town or something like that.
Yeah. And you guys are planning to go back in the fall?
Yeah, September.
And
September.
You're adding Germany to the
thing? Germany, France is the hopefully. Well.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Man. Yeah, the goal is to add Germany.
So what's
France.
The Reaper Bond? Was that the one that...
Yeah.
If you listen to this Reaper Bond, accept us.
Reaper Bond Music Festival?
Yeah.
We had some people like...
It's in Hamburg.
Yeah, Mobley just played that last year.
Oh, really?
We just talked about it. Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, cool.
We could talk to him. But...
Well, that, yeah.
Yeah, that's some of the people that are working on it, like, I guess.
Yeah, that's and stuff. We'll see. That's a goal. Hopefully it happens.
I just did a thing that I get really upset about. There's a guy that has a show. I can't stand it because all he does is tell the people who he's talked to before.
I just did it.
But that was for a reason.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, he was just here.
That was pertinent information.
Yeah. All right, so you're going to go back. Hopefully you're going to go back and do this stuff. But have you guys still been hitting the States pretty hard? Because you guys were hitting the States. You weren't crazy there for a while.
Yeah.
Slowed down a couple years. Last year we did.
Mm-hmm.
And have another thing in August where we're going back up to
like New York and Pennsylvania. Stuff. Like there's a festival in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania called Music Fest that we did last year, and we're doing kind of the same little run this year. It's mm-hmm. like right outside New York, so we'll do the city and stuff. Yeah, we're kind of trying to like focus less on the states right now. Just try to write more and let them.
Guys upset about the politics. No,
we don't want to write here anymore. We don't play anywhere around this stupid place.
You had a pretty busy South by Southwest.
Yeah,
I was really busy too.
How was
six
that?
Shows and it was good. It was, I guess. Yeah,
how many did you do? Six shows.
Six. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, we had like one day off because we flew in on Monday and then we had our first show on Tuesday, I think. Or like late Sunday night.
Oh, you flew in from UK on Monday?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, even though you're tired, it's still pretty cool.
It was cool,
yeah.
We were riding that.
Yeah. It felt good coming in. And it's fun. Everybody in the airport was like really nice, giving us directions. And like, they're like, oh, yeah, that's where the baggage claim is. And like, you know, because they thought we were just coming in for South by.
Oh, right. Did you use fake accents when you came back? Did you notice yourselves like... instead of saying the garbage man's coming, saying the dustman's coming.
The dustman.
Did you stop taking vitamins and start taking vitamins?
The vitamins. Drinking tea and not coffee now. Yeah.
We drink out of aluminium.
Aluminium. That's another one. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So this song Patterns is fantastic, by the way, guys. That came out when you went out over there. That was the release.
Mm-hmm.
Your Tiny Desk video is fucking awesome.
Thank you.
Who did that? How did you do that? I mean, obviously green screen.
A collaboration, yeah. A friend of ours filmed it, Glenn Kurth. mm-hmm.
Tea House Productions.
And then so he brought his camera and a green screen, and then Corey did all the editing, matching it all up. And then these two filmed the desk at the...
It was Hannah's desk from work, like in her classroom. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So we just went in after school one day and like...
Film the desk.
Kept zooming in and out and like pushing little cars behind it, putting gummy bears out on the table and stuff. Very important business.
Yeah. No, I didn't go because we didn't want three guys looking like us at a school in the middle of the day.
So yeah.
It could be weird,
they
right?
They put hoodies on.
Yeah.
We did have to walk into a middle school with a bunch of candy and stuff. So, you know.
And gummy bears and
gummy
little
bears
cars.
And toys.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You have to just walk in and go, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Don't look it up.
Nothing. So did they accept it,
the video?
They featured it one week,
right? I saw that.
We didn't win though. The winner was announced this morning.
We did not win.
Oh, what? Who was that? You know, who won?
I was just reading the email.
Watch the video. He's pretty good.
He's good.
It's this guy playing like just guitar with like a loop drum in his like homemade studio and stuff, but it's all about his voice and he's like doing crazy guitar
stuff. Like very talented.
Yeah, he's like very talented or something. Apparently he knows how to play his instrument. He didn't have any tracks though. It was kind of weird. I don't know. I didn't hear any
backing tracks.
But did you guys play it live when you recorded it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorta.
Yeah, sorta. As much as you can. You know?
As much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The green screen.
Stage. Yeah. At South by Southwest, is it hard to get that whole rig going for those throw and go shows? I mean, did you have any out of those six shows? Was one like, oh man, we just shouldn't have done that one.
Well, there actually was definitely one.
I mean, there's always a bunch like that. At least the question you definitely don't want to ask is like, what did we learn, or what was something good that came of that? Because the answer is almost always nothing at South by.
Nothing,
it seems like.
Yeah. Do you go into it like in a positive vibe and then come out of it like defeated and beaten up or something? What?
No, I don't think we go into it with a positive vibe.
We go in with the same vibe. It's like seeing that dog shit and still stepping in.
Well, you guys, I mean, you're still doing well here, right?
In Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, well enough.
I saw a crazy show one time at the Mohawk. I took my cousin to see you guys at Stubbs, I think, is the last time I saw you. What was that? A record release or something?
Last year.
Whenever we really put a show together and it's like a release, it seems to do really well. But we just haven't.
Yeah,
we took a year off, playing in town and stuff too. So I think we're trying to get back into reminding people that we're still.
Yeah, and again, we're mostly just like, well, we're gonna start doing more regional stuff pretty soon, but we're mostly focused on writing when we're home and then touring, over to Europe and stuff as much as we can, because like our publishing company and stuff thinks that's where we'll take off, and it has kind of been. it's been really great, but it's also sort of a waste of some time doing all the just leaving for weeks and getting in the car.
It can be real hard unless you have a plan to return there soon and build something. Yeah. It can be really defeating.
Yeah, stay on there every 4 months.
Yeah.
And it was like the couple of years where we did that, we would build to a point, but then it was just like this plateau where, you know, like would go through these towns and clubs and, you know, third or fourth time we could sell a good amount of tickets, you know, maybe 70 or 80 tickets. But then it's like, where's the jump between that and the next level, you know? And it's still not very sustainable for three people to be out on the road doing that for weeks at a time. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough thing. And now you guys have been doing it for a while and you've tried some different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, at least if you tour regionally, you're playing and you're getting your name out there and you have like a place you can go back to and build.
Right.
I don't understand. I mean, I really don't. Ever since I first saw you guys. It was love at first sight.
Thank you,
John. 6 years later, you're like, these guys still might make it.
What's that?
And 6 years later, you're still hoping for it. That's good. Not 6 years.
Yeah, you guys are still great.
The dream alive.
I mean, you everything you put out, I love. And I mean, I'm still waiting. Oh, this year's my 50th birthday. You guys are going to be gone in October, maybe?
October?
Well, if you're not, gone on my birthday. I'm going to hire you for my birthday party. Yes. Period. Yes. That's it.
Let's do
this year I'm doing it. Because 50, I got to have a party with a band.
Yeah.
At a place.
Yeah, definitely.
It's about absolutely. Damn
time. You guys ever play? You play Hotel Vegas, right?
Oh, yeah. I love Hotel Vegas. Is that the spot?
I don't know. I just said it, though, on a public
thing. Yeah.
I just thought of it because it seems like a fun place to have your birthday.
Yeah.
It does seem like
I always have fun there.
Either that or you guys ever play a Chuck E. Cheese?
Oh, yeah.
Or what's the grown-up place called? Chuck E. Cheese.
Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been to Dave and Buster's, but I've seen the commercials. I've seen the billboards.
There's no time like your 50th to go to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. So you guys have a new album coming soon? Is that right? Is that what I am to believe?
Mostly singles. We're going to try and do a single every month to 1 to 2 months, and then an EP. I think what they've been wanting us to do is an EP in the fall right before we go back to London. So with some of those singles and then maybe some new ones. So, yeah, no albums yet because they're,
hard.
Yeah. They get play a game, stuff. Business game.
Yeah.
Sort. Play the game.
We put out so much stuff last year that, like, still not a lot of people have heard that. So that's, like, part of it is maybe trying to find somebody to re-release that stuff in the UK
or Europe.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, just writing a ton and trying to, you know, show them that we can be good writers for a publishing company and turn around a lot of stuff and collaborate and kind of.
Have you guys collaborated with people world. To write with?
Just get started, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just sent over our demo of our first song with someone.
Yeah, we had our first like writing session with like a pop writer in London.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was super cool.
We want to do a lot more of that.
And he had this guy Topline on this track. That Todd had been working on, and so he sent back a bunch of melody ideas, and then we just replaced it with our voice and stuff like that. But it's the first time I've ever worked with a top liner. The melodies are like, pop, and catchy.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Do you find that after you do that? Because I felt like in my experience when I went off and wrote with other like writers, like, hey, we're sending you to write with this dude. They drop you off at like 11 in the morning and they pick you up at like 3. That's it. Like, you have to have a song when this dude comes back and picks you up or you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
So you go and you write with these people, but you realize that these guys do this every day like this or close, you know, at least a couple times a week to where they have this muscle.
Yeah.
That's always ready to go. Yeah. It's like they're always stretched and ready to run a marathon. Like whenever it's time, they're ready. Yeah. Do you leave feeling like maybe you raised your own bar a little bit? You know what I'm saying? Like from now on, you think when you're writing songs. This guy taught you this or this lady taught you this.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's how it's been so far. We've been working mainly with a guy named Winston Sela who had a couple... He's had hits in the UK and a couple different like countries and stuff, but he's a top liner, but he also has a production team and publishing company and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
But you do hear like, oh yeah, that's what puts a song on the radio. It's not all the time, but you know, like there's this lyrical focus Yeah. And like this, I don't know, you have to have some kind of hook that is pretty universal.
Theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely inspiring to, you know, work with people like that where it's like, okay, yeah, he's been doing this for years, 30 years now.
And right. And there are those people that sometimes you meet them and you're like, man, this is just all like, it's not a soulful expression of the thing. Some people are just like very mechanical. Like they know how to do this thing. It's a craft. It's like, hey, I know how to put up a drywall.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Fucking make sure everything's done straight.
Yeah.
You know, I can give you a great wall, great foundation, whatever you want. Yeah. They're like that. But like even those guys teach you stuff that you can apply to your own thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you guys find that you write, I mean, is there your songs are fun, but where are they coming from? If you don't mind my asking. So you get into
groin.
Growing?
From the groin.
From the groin.
From the groin. Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I wish you guys were playing tonight because I've been single for a while. I could meet some chicks at your show, I bet. And then dance with them. I got to stop hanging out with my cousins.
You can't
total cock blockers, man. Yeah. You see you dancing with some girl, and they're like, oh, that guy's with the hot chick already. You're like, no, she's my cousin. We're just dancing. No, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
We're just dancing.
And also talking to girls when you meet them like that is probably not the best
way. It's a weird explanation.
She comes up like,
hey, dude, listen.
Yeah.
No, but like, you know, when you say like you find this point of view that everyone can relate to in the world, what do you have to adjust in your songwriting to do that? Because to me, your songs are kind of like, I'm just thinking of the lyrics to Weekend right now.
Yeah.
I like to put that song on when I'm getting dressed to go do something fabulous in the night.
Nice. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is a universal, like, what did you learn from that guy? Like, what's the song that you wrote about? What did you write about with that guy?
It's a love song.
Love.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's trying to find broader concepts,
yeah,
and think about phrasing also in a way where, like, you know, you can have a line that is meaningful, you know, and it might stand out on its own, you know, like in Weekend, you know, like that song, like the pre-chorus for that song is like bring in the motherfucking clowns, which is just, you know, like it was at the time that was kind of like a, you know, a Donald Trump reference, mm-hmm. but like sometimes you feel like, and that's not a perfect example of it, but you have like a song where the general connecting theme might be partying or love, but then they're able to work these phrases into it that sound like they're almost a mantra for something else or a number of things, you know, that somebody might connect to, you know, a breakup or politics or
loss. It's good to also be able to take in that stuff and like take in the information of what's happening and turn it into a poetic line that can be universal, because it doesn't mean that to me.
Right, exactly.
Like the bringing the clowns doesn't make me think of Donald Trump.
Makes
me think of you guys coming over to my house.
Wouldn't have wanted it to.
Bringing the fucking clowns.
In the song, it works more like that, which is good, because I don't want to have like something that's, I don't know.
You can be talking about something dark super and fucked up, but there's just song. Like, it sounds like just a party, you know, just people in there or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Does your neck get sore, Corey, man?
Oh, yeah.
All you guys?
I mean, it's
been a few years now you've been doing it.
Getting older.
Yeah, it's starting to build muscle.
It hurts much more.
Usually it's just the first night the next day after the first night of tour, it hurts, and then...
Then it gets right into it. What about your voices? Because you guys sing really fucking high, and that's a delicate area.
Delicate.
It is. We're kind of.
I mean, do you ever have
two? Like the fact that we do like half and half maybe helps.
Mm-hmm.
When we do tours where we play really long sets, it starts to fade faster. But like when we were in London, every set was like 45 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe an hour tops.
Do you guys do any covers when you're like in London playing?
We did Let's Dance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to hear you guys do that.
I think it's one of our fun, more fun,
and yeah,
better covers too.
I just played a Bowie tribute show on Sunday.
Nice.
Trying to get you guys all in my story, but also the light behind you makes it so.
Oh shit!
Hold on, I'm gonna go back here.
It's all part of the
show. Get back in that story. When you listen to this later, watch the Instagram story along with it.
That's just a photo.
That's a boomerang.
That's gonna be, we were boomeranging.
Oh, you want a boomerang?
No, it's fine.
Okay. You guys want a boomerang on the show?
You have to be 18.
What was I just saying before I took the picture? We were saying something about...
Your Bowie tribute night.
Yeah, you. Okay, so I did a Bowie tribute night. Nobody did Let's Dance. Nobody did anything. The latest thing was from Scary Monsters, was Ashes to Ashes.
Oh, okay. Was it a solo gig or Skyrocket?
I kind of played, but no. It was the drummer from Skyrocket played as an auxiliary musician. He played conga with me, and it was this thing, David and us, you do a song of David Bowie's and you do a song of your own. Oh, and cool. I had you know those guys, Super Creeps? They're like the David Bowie tribute band in town with Adam Sultan, this guy Andy.
I don't know them, but I've definitely seen their name.
Well, yeah. They know all these songs, and I did Quicksand, you know that song from Hunky Dory?
Yes.
And they were like, oh, yeah, we know it, and they knew like harmonies and shit, yeah. So they just got up and like did it. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I like about those shows where everybody plays with each other, like you go sing back up with this person, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's fucking awesome. Do you guys feel the community? Because you guys are a pretty insular sort of group. Like, you guys have each other. You right. do your records. You don't live out on that compound anymore.
Not anymore.
No, it's been a while.
It got raided.
Sorry.
Yeah. We haven't attached our name to that place in years. I appreciate you delete that part.
I mean, do you feel a sense of community here outside of just us? I saw you guys have a show coming up with Katie Rain and someone. Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah, she's super cool. We've never actually met in person, yeah, but we know
I've seen her.
Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben does a lot of writing with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a cool, that'll be a fun show to kind of connect with him again too, because, I mean, it kind of does feel like we're on a little pop island in Austin sometimes. Like
I understand that.
It's hard to bill us with other bands around here sometimes.
I felt that way when my band Gowdy kind of got into our thing. I had a couple of people that I hung out with that were my close friends, but I didn't feel like I felt like I was a little on my own.
Right.
Or we were on our own in it.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad, I mean.
It's not like we don't like have, you know, a lot of friends in the music scene, but it's like it doesn't feel like as a group or as musicians, like we're not really a part of
a
collective or a scene.
I understand that. So what's the next single? What were you going to say? Were you going to say something heavy?
Those are going to be heavy, but we'll keep it light this time.
Okay. I don't mind it when it gets heavy. When's the next single coming out?
Hopefully.
Are you guys recording these yourselves? Did you guys do patterns yourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Awesome. Because I know you went and recorded with people. You did the first stuff yourselves, and then you went and recorded with people, and now you're back with yourselves. Fun.
Everything we've released has been done by us, actually. But we've had experiences where, like, we worked with Ken Coomer, who used to be the drummer of Wilco.
The Wilco guy, yeah.
Which, that was really cool, very fun experience, and we learned a lot. But songs didn't quite... It just didn't end up sounding right.
Yeah.
Was he hard on you as a drummer? Was he one of those guys?
He would have been, but there's nothing to be hard on. So. Okay.
That's perfect. No, what I mean, like, you know, tuning and just weird shit.
I use, like, I mean, I'm terrible tuning.
He has his own drum kit. He set up, like, some of the stuff.
So I was just like, you know what you're, like, looking for as far as drum sound, so you set up and I'll just play on it. Mm-hmm. And we just, like, a lot of drum machines on top of it, too. But it was cool, dude, because we haven't done, like, you know, we've done real drums for certain parts, but, you know, we work with a lot of samples and stuff nowadays, so it was cool to do that, but... But, it wasn't that hard. He was just, you know... I mean, he you know, made me, simplify everything, of course, like most people, but which I'm pretty easy with these days. You can mold mold it, shape it, do whatever you need to, you know.
Do you guys how is it working now together as opposed to like before that experience? Do you feel like you're tighter? You guys seem like your communication is really good.
I think it's pretty good. It is, yeah.
I mean that's the downfall of every band, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think everything right now has been just really smooth and nice because we figured out a nice streamline writing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and now we just have a Dropbox folder that we fill up with ideas, like whether it's just tracks or just instrumental track or you know, with some vocal ideas, and then the others will download it and add stuff on. And so we've been working, yeah, kind of like that, just in our own little rooms that we all, and then we get together once or twice a week and talk about it and stuff.
Yeah,
pick songs to work on, yeah, and what to share with each other.
Yeah.
Versus like find lyrics. Yeah, I think sometimes if you're like always like writing and trying to write new songs together, sometimes, you know, you can hit those blocks because you're like in a space and you like people are, you know, you're trying to figure out something right then and you don't have time to be in your own zone. And I think, you know, there's days like that. Then when you leave the writing session, you know, it kind of feels like a bummer, nothing happened, or it could be really good. But with this, it's like, we don't want to, every time we're working together, it's always on stuff that we've already approved or mm-hmm. done.
Yeah, want to work on. That's a healthy way to work together. You know, you avoid the pitfalls.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Little like things. Yeah. You know, we don't like, you know, get on each other about little things. Maybe for like mm-hmm. the student, like I like this way, I like this way. You know, it's like later on, like if you don't like something, he's like, well, that's cool. You know, we'll just change it. But
yeah,
I think it's just a nice way to write a bunch of songs too. Versus yeah. like,
what's always seemed like you guys have a collective vision of what you're going to do. Even like yeah. visually, you have a collective vision. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Not just sonically. Like you're not like what? It doesn't seem like one guy's like a country guy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
trying to bring yeah. in this. Hey man, yeah. I wrote this song on ukulele, man. You know what I mean?
This banjo.
Hey man, what about my song, man?
Yeah, what about my song? Like,
what about my song, yo? You never play my song. I'm the fourth member.
Yeah, exactly. there's a fourth yeah. guy shut again, up. That nobody meets. He's like a gimp. You keep him locked in a closet.
Yeah, brother that no one has. He's got a hump and stuff.
He just plays the Casio.
But later on, one of his songs leaks and becomes a big country song and he makes all the money. Yeah.
No, but that's good, man.
It's not that we don't like writing and working together. I think it's just makes it easier for like, yeah. you know, getting shit out. Like,
well, now that we don't all live on a ranch together.
Yeah, now we don't right, all. Yeah. yeah. That's true. Like, it was easy to walk it. Yeah, 20 feet to get to the studio and just like, hey, you want to meet up in 30 feet?
Yeah.
In 30 feet?
Yeah. In Mount Carmel.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Not the Branch Davidian compound on that Mount Carmel?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. yeah.
I want to go to Mount.
You got to be careful with compounds.
You do. Yeah. You really
people
do.
People start to notice. Wobble, yeah. yeah. Even people in Kyle's, like, was like Michelle.
Oh, they knew.
Into.
Oh yeah, someone came into her work and were like, "Oh, you like?" She mentioned where she lived. Like, "Oh, y'all live on that hippie compound, yeah. hippie commune."
Next all those door. Hippies, well, like with that in, weird yeah. dance music coming yeah. out of the, yeah. out of the bar. Really what late the hell's at night. Going on yeah. over there?
Hippies with dance music and disco.
I didn't know the neighborhood.
You know what I like about you guys is when your shows are very fun. I'm glad that you play Let's Dance, and I don't think people should be in cover bands, but I think that when you present a show that's real fun, I think it's nice to add another element of like, oh yeah, that song. Mm-hmm. And you the songs that you guys do, it also makes me wonder, are you guys like super into like gated reverbs and shit?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. all the songs you choose, like, didn't you guys do the "And When You Find Yourself in 82"?
Yeah,
yeah. Anything with a good gated reverb on it.
Yeah,
it's for
yeah. grabs. And then, how do you do "Let's Dance"? What do you what kind of spin do you put on that? It's different.
It's got a synth bass in it instead of
yeah.
Well, I guess no. The Rivas. Recording has a synth bass yeah. too.
That yeah. one's a little more similar too. I think
yeah. it is a little.
As far as, we played a little more straight.
Yeah,
I think that one. Vocally, you'll have a little more touches on it, but like the song is.
Yeah,
like some will change a lot, like "Believe" or
yeah, "Believe." Yeah, yeah. "Believe" would be a, that
one was had a way when we changed thing. Quite yeah. a bit. Yeah, there's still we've talked about it for years, just like putting those together into like a covers album. Maybe this will be the year. I don't know, but mm-hmm. you know, having the different arrangements and releasing them like
I've never
like
heard you guys do one that made me wince. When I heard that you were doing the Hathaway song, I was like, oh, why is that coming around again? Like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought it was
trying to pick the one that no one's
liked
been touching
I really yeah. liked the song. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Even you guys. See, you guys could make me like things I don't like. You guys could get me eating spinach again.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just joking. I like spinach. I was trying to think of something someone wouldn't like. Yeah. So, all right. So, what's going on with you guys for the summer? Just more recording? Are you going to be doing more shows locally and regionally?
Mm-hmm. Got a couple of regional right. shows. Yeah, we're doing like a little tour up to the East Coast Music Festival.
Oh, right. That's Music what you were Fest saying.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we're doing a gig at Rockwood in New York.
I love that place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's super cool. That's
stage two.
We talked about now. This before, you know, I don't think I've ever been there where I didn't like walking through that place like, hey, man, what are you doing here? Like, totally always.
Yeah.
Always someone there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a scene. Like every single, I mean, I guess.
But there's always someone like from here. Like, in, really like if I go there and I'm playing, then they're like, hey, I saw you were here. Or like one time I went there and I was in that little bar where it's just a little tiny bar. Do they still have
that's
that?
That's where we played last time. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
Not where the grand piano is, in the little.
Yeah.
You played
in
a little place.
The stage,
yeah,
stage
we did the
one.
Piano stage. 2 years ago, and then
this year we're doing the piano stage again. But yeah, last year we
I could see you guys on piano stage.
They put us on stage one. Yes. Yeah, that one. I love watching that piano come up. That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
So like every single night to pick a piano up and stuff it on a shelf is.
You know, they had some really cool like sort of. I know that Norm Jones went there and like would play like every Monday.
Oh, nice.
Like happy hour just because she was working on new shit.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I think Ryan Adams did that there for a little while.
Nice. Yeah.
But I remember one time what I was going to say is I was, you know, they had the video. You can see the band playing in the room, too, from the little room, right? So I'm sitting there. I'm having a drink with a friend of mine. We're talking. I'm like, these guys look really familiar. Drinking. These dudes come in after they play. Like, whoa, hey, what's up there? I can't remember the band name, but it was these guys from it. It was so weird. It just never fails. Every time I'm there.
I always meet someone from.
I run into someone from here.
That you know from
here. I think the guy, doesn't the guy that books it, isn't he from here?
I don't know. I can't remember the name of the guy who books it right now.
What's the festival that you're playing?
Music Fest. It's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's kind of a, I don't know what to compare it to. I guess it's sort of like a South by Southwest type
thing. Oh, that's cool.
Thing where it's like they'll have, you know, a couple stages where like we headlined a stage last year, and I think we're headlining a small stage again this year. So they have like the smaller, like free stages where it's like they have beer sponsors and whatever to come out that you can just walk around, and it's open to the public. But then they have like we played like right after Toby Keith last year.
Oh, cool!
That was an interesting crowd because they were like all walking right by our stage, all these Toby Keith fans.
Some would say, "Well, that was interesting." So
yeah, we didn't pull too many of them.
Well, don't you guys feel like now though that like genres aren't really very like it seems like there's no like when I was young, you know, if you liked a certain kind of music, you weren't friends with dudes that you know, or if you liked Hall & Oates, like you couldn't go to my junior high and be like, hey, I like Hall & Oates, because dudes would be like, fuck you, Ozzy.
Yeah.
So you had to be like kind of like underground, but it seems like now you can like anything.
Yeah.
And kids, like, we play these high school graduations every year in Skyrocket, and we're playing music from, like, 70s and 80s, and those kids know, like, all the words.
That's
so there's
cool,
no, like, I guess from Rock Band and, like, these movies. These guys sound like an old guy. Sounds 50
movies,
now.
These pictures.
These movies and these video games with their Rock Bands and
YouTubes
and Kardashians and E! True Television Stories. I want my MTV, man.
Yeah.
You know?
MTV.
Do you pull off any of the Stevie stuff on Let's Dance?
No.
No, I was kidding. Oh,
I do the first line.
Oh, yeah.
I just do that. But I do it all on Talk Box. But, yeah, it's just that one bend that. But I want. And I just do that like 4 times.
It is pretty weird when you think, like, when you live here and there's like the statue of the guy and you hear him on the radio and then you hear that song, you're like, wow, that was, it's a weird, I mean, it was a cool idea Bowie had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's weird.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, let's get this blues guy to just like
rip a
play stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was playing stuff.
He was stuff. Absolutely shredding. Yeah.
That album has 3 great guys, like Carlos Alomar, I think, is on that. I know he was on the. That's the only time I ever saw Bowie was on that tour.
Oh man!
And it was Carlos Alomar, and the main lead guy was this guy Earl Slick that played with like John Lennon and John Waite. Damn.
Did Nile Rodgers come on that tour, or did he just
was not on
the
that
album?
Tour?
Okay, because Stevie was going to, but then he like Texas Flood took off right around that time or something, and he dropped off the tour. I read Bowie's biography, and I think
Because if you go to music stores here, people, no offense, people in Austin, but like you guys have some weird myths. Like, oh, man, Stevie didn't go because, man, Bowie wouldn't pay him scale. And you're like, come on, dude. Like, that's not why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bowie was jealous. That's Bowie also not jealous. Why.
Yeah. Those riffs, I don't think they weren't really competing for the same audiences.
No, not at all. And Bowie really, like, okay, I'll tell you what. When I bought my very first electric guitar, Mark Hallman took me to Ray Hennig's Heart of Texas Music, which is now Alamo Drafthouse Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
And when we walked in, there was a guy with stringy hair, hat, just like over there, you know, playing, looking at guitars. And Mark was like, wow, this is amazing. You're buying your first electric guitar. You know who that guy is? I'm like, no. He's like, that's Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I'm like, who's that? And he's like, dude, the guy who plays guitar on Let's Dance. And I'm like, what? And he's like, that's how I knew Unreal. Who he was. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was pretty accessible in the local music community, it seemed like
I didn't live here then. I lived in the Woodlands, yeah. So I wasn't totally immersed in what was happening.
But I remember I did an internship with Margaret Moser, and she would talk about meeting Stevie and how he's basically didn't have a place to live until that album came out. So just like, you know, get people to buy him beers and crash and kind of just couch surf for like a couple years, like in the scene. Don't know if that, you know, how long he did that, but it's definitely like a lot of people probably crossed paths with him. There's another weird connection to Bowie though that I've learned about because I substitute teach sometimes, and we took the kids on a field trip to this boxing gym on North Lamar. Somebody Lord, I can't remember his last name, but he's trained a lot of like female heavyweight champions. I think he has like two or three that he's been their coach, but then he's also like a celebrity trainer. And I guess Bowie, before the Let's Dance tour, was really afraid he was going to die. Because, you know, psychosis, a lot of cocaine. So he was really worried that he was going to die on the tour. Like, he had a feeling about dying on the tour. So he was like, I have to exercise every single day of the tour.
Wait, he did have a heart attack at one point on tour, right? Like in the early 2000s.
Yeah, Yeah.
So no, sorry.
But, right. Yeah, well, this Let's Dance tour was like 84.
83. Because I was like 13 or 14 when I saw him.
Yeah. But there's a picture of Bowie in the foldout where he's like in boxing gloves.
The cover of the record, I think he's boxing.
Yeah, and that was his coach has a gym in Austin, and that's the awesome. One that went on the tour like every day.
And does he still have that? Because I'd go to Bowie's boxing coach.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy should just he could have so much business from like every musician in town. Like we'd all be great boxers.
I know, and he's like that. He said, I guess Bob Dylan loves to box too. So when Bob Dylan's in Austin, he'll go to that gym. But he like rides, you know, a Harley in on.
I know a guy that is connected to both Bowie and Dylan that probably knows how to get this boxing guy.
Really?
Yeah.
This is hourly.
I don't know.
We could get a discount and do a class.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine how hilarious. I mean, I'm sure Bowie was hilarious looking when he was boxing.
Right.
Do you guys ever see him? Do you guys ever see that him on the Dick Cavett show where he has the cane and he's on the cane?
I got the cane.
Everyone at home go like, do it. Just do Bowie, cocaine, Dick Cavett.
Okay.
And it comes up, and it's really sad. It's like they should show that instead of like showing an egg frying in a pan,
right,
and say don't do drugs, which doesn't make any sense at all. They should show this guy and go like, look, this is what's gonna happen. You're gonna act like this.
Yeah.
This is what you're gonna be.
Never
like.
Want it.
you're gonna literally be the color gray and be like.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden have like a cane for affect or like some weird thing.
That was like another
the cane is my crutch.
Yeah, I guess I could guys stop talking about David Bowie.
Tell me a little bit about this internship with Margaret.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm sorry, did you get close to her? Because she was a lovely lady.
I did, I love Margaret. That. No, and we sort of fell out of touch a little bit like these past few years. It was like my freshman year of college, which I guess would have been 2008.
Did you seek her out to do that?
No, there was a thing called Blast Beat that came over for 1 year when I was in high school, which was like a music business competition, which is kind of like, it's sort of, I mean, I was already planning on, you know, doing music with my life, but that kind of solidified it because I was like, oh, there's all this stuff that people do on the business side and stuff. So, and it was, basically, it was like we put together a mock record label, and they had like an American employee named Jacqueline, and basically she asked me what I was doing after high school, and I said, playing music, but also going to UT, and said that Margaret, because Margaret had a ton of interns that she would take in over the years. Like, it's like she had one every semester, basically. Mm. Not, they weren't all from college. It was just, people that were interested in writing and music. So we did a lot of what I worked on with Margaret was, like, she would do her Next Up showcases. Mm-hmm. And I would kind of like help stage manage and book those. And
that was the kids or?
Yeah, right? I was like under 18 stuff like that, which is cool, and it's like cool to see, a lot of those people that would come play those are doing super well now, like the Peterson brothers. I remember them doing that show a lot of times, and I've like been following them on Facebook for years, and those guys are like, seem like they're working musicians now. I remember Marlon, like Max Frost and Blues Mafia and stuff.
Oh,
and
early
Max
guys.
Is doing super well.
Yeah, Max
so it's cool, a lot of people got opportunities to play on stages that they wouldn't have if it hadn't been for Margaret, like, working that out with Threadgills and other clubs to like do those early shows. But yeah, I mean, really cool. she was an amazing person.
Yeah, amazing person. Yeah. We're lucky to have her.
Yeah.
Around.
Yeah.
When we did, I was always sad. We talked a few times about her doing the show, and then there was one point we were going to do it live, and then she started getting sick. And for the last few years, it was like, you feel weird asking.
Right.
I knew her more in the 90s than I did. I was closer to her in the 90s than I was in like the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I was young and cute in my band. You know what I mean?
Helps.
She loved young, cute rock dudes.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, she did. She really did.
Yeah. She knew a lot of them.
From a lot of different eras.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was her business in the 70s.
Right, yeah.
She told me some stuff one time that, like, I was with my ex-wife, and my ex-wife was friends with her as well. And she was telling us this story that, like, seriously, she looked at me and she was like, Johnny, you are red. And I was like, I was blushing so, like, at what she was telling me that she had done, like, in rock and roll as a groupie. I was like, I was floored. I had never heard it from the lady's side. And I was just like,
Johnny, you get a bit red there.
Yeah,
you're making me blush. I mean, crazy.
What a life. I mean, she met everybody that came through town too. Like, she would talk about like Lou Reed and Lester Bangs and like,
yeah.
I mean, she was totally in that world, which is.
And what a fan of music too. Like, she really, she wasn't fucking around, man. That was her whole life.
No.
Her whole life. Did you go to any of their memorial stuff they had here?
I didn't.
It's pretty interesting to see all the people that come out to, all the people that she affected.
Yeah, it's basically the entire generations of the music community.
I just played. Well, the guy that was playing bass at that Bowie thing was Charlie Sexton's son, Marlon Sexton, who was part of that thing with William Harris Graham and like part of, I guess, after Max Frost because they're younger than Max.
Right. Yeah, it was. I mean, that was a really cool thing that Margaret did, and I think she definitely, myself included, and in a really, really large group of musicians, like pushed a lot of young musicians into being like, oh, this is something that I really like doing, that they might not have realized that until maybe later in life, or maybe maybe they would have just gotten a job as an accountant or something. But Margaret, like, recognize that passion in people, definitely, and nurtured it.
Nice shade on accountants there.
Huh?
Nice shade on accountants there.
No offense to all the accountants.
No offense to accountants.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure plenty of kids grow up wanting to be an accountant, right?
Yeah. I don't think they're like, hey, I do know a guy that turned it into something real cool. Like, he was an accountant guy, and he loved rock and roll, and now he's like a touring accountant for like huge Def Leppard.
Oh, nice.
Red Hot Chili Peppers kind of.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
That's awesome. Pretty cool. Yeah, you get to hang out with those guys. That's the accountant's dream. It's funny when we were talking about that before this tour managing panel started last week, I was having a conversation with the people that were tour managers, and I was like, man, it seems like at least half of the people that get into tour managing are dudes that are friends with the band that don't play anything and like have like a couple of weeks off when they're going to like, you know, to New York. You're like, oh, dude, I'll be the manager, whatever. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I learned how to do it because I fucked up a bunch of shit for these guys, but my friends, you know what I mean?
Right.
It seems like that's how it goes. You guys don't have a guy. Do you have a traveling guy?
It's been just self-sufficient. Random people when it has been, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like in the UK, a friend of ours that first came to our first show in Cincinnati was a festival, and he just was happened to be there and became a fan. Then we met him afterwards, and now we've been good friends, and we stay with him every time we stay in Cincinnati.
Oh, that's
and
great.
He flew himself out to the UK to like kind of go around and sell merch for us, and like he was like passing out cards to everyone and like doing the job of tour manager.
Yeah,
it's always been someone.
It's
like
one
that.
Of those situations.
So he may become a professional one someday, you know.
What's his
Kevin,
name?
Kevin Breslin.
What's Kevin, Breslin. Kevin, Breslin, man. Kevin Breslin. Yeah, man, that's
Kevin,
a cool
He was definitely an MVP of that tour because
he was the catalyst.
I don't know how he would have done that without him.
There are some bands that without a Kevin Breslin, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, we would have been. We could have missed a couple of shows and we're not knowing those trains.
Exactly.
Yeah, he already been to UK.
He knew the trains. Yeah. And, you know, he knew kind of like how long it took to get places.
Kevin Breslin, if you're interested in tour managing. This could be a job for you, my friend.
This could be the job for you. Yeah. He told me he messaged on Facebook. He's like, so yeah, I just realized my job's like firing me in like 3 weeks, so you better become famous.
I want a guy like that.
He's a natural. It's like, it's a very specific like personality type that can do that. You know, like walk up to every single person in a club and give them a card or, you know.
And using with someone too, like.
And that's desperately important. You're in another continent. You're not, these people are going to leave and you don't have a way to. Like, that's, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you forget bands' names right away, and then you, like, never remember them again, even if you like the show, so.
I never forgot you guys after I saw you. Seriously, always good. One of my favorite bands. Yes. Not just in town, but just one of my favorite bands. This song, Patterns, is fantastic. Is there anything that we're missing in this conversation? Space Camp came out last, I don't know if we talked, did we talk about that when it came out?
I think, we've talked since, but yeah, that
came out last summer.
The newest one, yeah.
Congratulations. Congratulations on getting to the UK. And honestly, on you know, the songwriting thing, I know that that's going to be a great thing for you guys because you guys are great songwriters. I know you'll be... I'd like to hear someone doing a Sphinx song one day. Maybe a Katy Perry level.
Katy Perry.
That would be...
You know what
we'll
I mean?
We'll sell it. We'll buy it.
I watched a little bit of American Idol last night. I hadn't seen it since a long time ago.
Hey.
And... it was really discouraging. So what? I'm just going to tell you that.
Like the performance?
Everything about it was just, it's like a TV singing show on ABC. Like, how good is that going to be?
Yeah.
Is that terrible for me to say?
I don't know.
I know that the executives at ABC are huge fans of the show, and I just lost a huge demographic.
The art sphinx does not agree with everything.
Corey and I got, we almost got poached by a singing show at the BMI brunch.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I would have had a DJ by myself, you know.
But do I want to go and watch this on a show? No, because I'm almost 50.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, I was, it was really odd.
It was like a new show that they had their first season last year. They're trying to do a second season. It's like, you know, a lot of times we take one time, but a lot of times two singers in a band, they compete, you know, it helps them, you know, encourage each other.
Oh,
like.
God. Can you say what show it was? Was it The Voice?
No, it was one on Fox.
There's more than The Voice and
I kind of forgot the pitch. It was something like it's
the
like
talent.
The chairs don't spin, but there's something
they come out of the ground and they want.
Yeah, there's a gimmick. They're like basically like, you know, on The Voice where the chairs spin. Well, ours don't do that, but our chairs do this one thing, and I totally forgot the chair. I don't know.
They blew out a fog.
Be sure to watch it. Be sure to watch whatever.
Aren't those music business those mixers like music. The higher up you go, the weirder you hear?
Yeah, there's some funny stuff that
it's funny. Like the BMI brunch is
the bands they picked
hilarious because like it's not really like, you know, it's not exclusive. You can just walk up and go get into that brunch. And but like me and Todd ran, and we were with our friend Nathan, and we ran into this band. I won't say the name. But they're not from here. They're from really far away. But they drove in for like one gig from South By, and like we're like, it was so like I guess they recently started doing pop music, but it was just like they're clearly there to like trying to get a record deal like at the brunch.
Like, they were, you know, they were ready, dressed up.
Man, like
adorable.
Yeah,
but yeah, but they were talking about pop. and they were like, man, yeah, you know, we were doing pop punk for like 11 years and we wrote one pop song. It's so easy. Pop is so easy. I wish we would have been doing this. It's like, yeah, we decided, like, our manager likes that one song. We're going to write like two or three more maybe. And we have like 16 meetings set up with labels right now. And so we're trying to like not write until one of the songs makes it. Like, they were talking about just like keeping that one song and not doing anymore.
They're like,
it's like, so manager, easy. All you need is one pop.
That whole thing you just did is why I don't live in LA. Like, yeah. Honestly, I just can't stand conversations LA, that are like that.
Yeah.
It was very much like,
just like, oh, I love this one. Two more like this. You know, you can see
that. They're like people on coke or something.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I was just like, I was
just incessantly talking about themselves, about shit you just don't, like, I don't fucking care.
We just met you. Trying to leave. We were all hungover. Like, this was like, we were like clearly outside of the door of the Four Seasons already getting this pitch. I was like, who do you think we are? Like, we're clearly not anybody that can help you with this. But then they're like, yeah, it's amazing. You know, I don't know who they're paying for this, but like, we have a stylist, you know, we have all this stuff, and it's amazing because they'll be like, you know, it's like so many years I just did all this stuff on my own, and now it's like, oh my gosh. They're like, no, don't worry about that. Don't do anything. Just write music. Just write music. Don't do anything. And it's like, oh my gosh, who are you? Thank you so much. Like, it's so cool. It's like, this is a really big team.
Yeah. They gave us
stylist. Yeah. They have
a sponsorship.
CBD
sponsorship.
Is that Colorado. A weed oil?
Yeah, like, oh, that's pretty cool. But just CBD. Really, they gave some, it just made you really relaxed. It was chill. It's
not,
it smelled
like CBD. It's not weed.
Yeah, it's not like the psychoactive. But
yeah, it's like the medicine side of it, I guess.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's cool. It's, yeah.
It's not as fun, but it's
so cool. They have that, and they have a stylist maybe, so.
But yeah, well, good. You saw like a post later, right, on Facebook, at the exclusive like BMI brunch, you know. And then me and Aaron walked up when we first got there, and they couldn't find our name on the list. Like, no, fucking, just get in, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't. Yeah. Like, anyone could get in, but I don't know. I just remember those days, you know. I feel like we were in high school. We thought that, but when people come to things like that, you just kind of think, oh, all the top dogs are here. This is it, you know. This is it. We're here. Just meet that one con.
I have these friends from Houston that in the early 2000s they got to a point where things were getting, they were getting invited to stuff like that, and they went to something, some kind of like ASCAP or BMI thing. And they were really fucked up. And one of the guys was like, you know how everyone's going to remember us? And they're like, no, how? And he goes, I'm just going to walk in fucking naked. And he did. And I guess he hung in there as long until someone threw him out. But he was like trying to schmooze. Like, hey, how's it going? I'm the dude from Pale.
Yeah,
he's
been
called Pale from Houston.
That's,
yeah, that guy was crazy.
Pretty brilliant.
That, I mean, I would remember that.
And then they became Christians. I mean, like, hardcore.
Oh, nice. They make a lot of money in Christian music, so, you know.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's a big industry.
Hey, guys, thank you for coming to the show. Everyone get out there. Check out their new single, Patterns. You got to get on Facebook and find the video for Patterns that they did for Tiny Desk. Great video. If you ever wanted to shrink Sphinx and keep them in your pocket and take them with you everywhere you go like I do, this was the video for you. Go to sphinxmusic.com for all your Sphinx needs. Thanks, dudes.
Thanks, thank you. Thanks, bobbleheads coming soon.
Yeah. That's my dad's
right. Nice, that's all. Yeah.
Aaron, Corey, and Todd, better known as Sphinx, get out to sphinxmusic.com. Get involved with them. They are one of my favorite bands around, period. They have been since the very first time I laid eyes on them. Their album Space Camp is out now, and their latest single, which came out in February, Patterns, is available now. I will put a link to their Tiny Desk concert video on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page so that you can see it, because it is quite, it's very entertaining. They're very entertaining fellows, and I always enjoy sitting down and talking to them. Go to sphinxmusic.com for all of your Sphinx needs. Hey, guys, listen, while you're out there checking out Sphinx online, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast everywhere. If you're on Spotify listening to Sphinx, check us out on Spotify. Follow us there. How Did I Get Here is available on Spotify, on Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Android Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, all the places where you find podcasts. Also, share it. If you're a Sphinx fan and you want everyone to know that Sphinx was on the show, share this on social media with the hashtag How Did I Get Here Pod, and I will personally thank you on the show. All right? Thank you so much for listening to the show. Here's some more music from Sphinx. Let's hear their latest single, Patterns, available now. Go to sphinxmusic.com. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.